starts to rain, it begins to pour. Without an umbrella, we're soaked to the skin.
I mean, that, no knock on that. I'm sure there's a reason why they're, you know, they're going into the, like, the William Street vaults. Like, there's no...
I mean, gee, know. They could have picked the strong female character from, let's see... None of these.
Mulan 2. Mushu.
Mulan 2.
I think everything's picked.
Did you say Mushu's?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well...
It's the same shit. Ryan is saying... You sound great, but I hear sound, the word sound. Yeah. And it's frustrating because while you're only hearing half of what Ryan's saying, it's going.
Oh, that's, I'm sorry, I had my metronome going in the background. I probably should have turned that off before the call started.
It would be, you're, just so you know, your metronome does not keep great time.
Neither do I. It's the Meg White edition, so that's the why I gravitated towards that.
I wonder if I could stop watching Saturday Night Live.
I enjoyed this last episode. I thought it was stronger than any. How about this? I thought it was stronger than any episode last season.
I've stopped, but I was never that regular, at least not since like the 90s.
I feel like it's FOMO if I miss something, but it's like, who gives a shit? The only thing that trends is Pete Davidson, and I don't really care.
Yeah,
he's not for my age bracket.
No.
Yeah,
for me, I mean, there's I get that thing because there was that point in my life where it's like, I'm going to have to, this is going to be my last magazine I'm ever going to buy. Like, this is, it has served me well. It has proved foundational in my development, but you have to move on. And you're right. I get no joy or impact from Saturday Night Live as I would, you know, in 1993 or whatever. Right. Like, but at the same time, it's like, if it's 8:30 on a Saturday and I'm home, and there's nothing else on. I mean, I'm going to put it on. And yeah, there's probably some things that are going to amuse me.
I don't think Iron Man 3 is on TBS.
No.
It's just, I don't know, man. I was just like, just didn't care. Did you? Okay, so, Ben.
Yes.
Yes.
There was a sketch last night.
Okay.
Recording in progress.
And.
Got it.
So. Got it. So. The most bizarre thing was either they came back from commercial too quick or something.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like they have like a still pit image up that leads into the sketch. But while that still image is up, Owen Wilson goes, okay, yeah, I got it. And then it fades into the scene and you just see a masked Lorne Michaels walk off screen right really slow.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, really bizarre and off-putting before you try to get into this comedy.
That's kind of, I kind of like that. I think I'd like to see that.
And I mean, obviously there's something, you know, it wasn't somebody, you know, missing the mark or whatever it was. Like, it seemed like the audio shouldn't have been up and it was up. And Lorne Michaels was like, there were a bunch of things that were out of sync.
And then,
when the sketch started, he was like, are we going to go? Like, it's like, are we going? Like, he's like, was still looking for confirmation. And then he got, I thought he was, I mean, aside from, you know, a very obvious reliance on cue cards, I thought he did a pretty good job. His monologue was great. Like, he delivered it like a stand up. They didn't rely on any props. There were no questions from the audience. There was no overproduced musical number or high concept, whatever. He just, it was like an old school 90s monologue. I liked it.
Yeah.
Everything's not like about it.
Talk about getting coffee in Seattle and grunge music and
this is true. This was entirely the subject matter.
The Clinton administration.
But Andrew and Luke were in the audience.
Oh, that's cool.
This is true. And Luke was in a sketch, which was also awesome.
Right. I don't know. I hate Mikey Day so much.
Oh, he's really bad. He's really bad. I don't understand how. I don't know. Like, maybe he brings Blow to the office or something, and he's just like their hookup, and they let him be in sketches. I don't know.
I had to look it up right now. I was trying to remember Future Man's character's name in Idiocracy.
What was it?
I haven't watched SNL for a long time, and I gotta admit, like, I haven't even. Every now and then I'll dip a toe, like, I'll see something that pops up on my timeline. Like, I saw the bit where the Weekend Update writers swap jokes.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
No, that's funny. That's a good concept, in my opinion. But I don't even know. I didn't even see the David S. Pumpkin sketch that went super viral.
That's a good sketch.
It's good. It's fine.
I assume it must be, but I just.
I mean, if you like Tom Hanks, and
which I do,
and him creating a new character on Saturday Night Live that takes off, it's fun.
No, but there is
Mikey Day in the sketch too, which kind of ruins it, but just a little bit.
Yeah,
Bobby Moynihan helps balance it out. So that's good.
Yeah,
I'll just say I don't feel like I'm missing much.
You're not. It's just. I don't know at what point I'm going to. And the thing is, there have been stretches when I haven't watched. It's just, I don't know. It's out of indifference, I guess, and it's funny enough.
You, indifference. So, I watched Saturday Night Live this morning, which means okay. I did not watch Why the Last Man this morning. I watched it last night.
Okay.
Oh, somebody
and
planned.
Then, which Stevie said this morning, aren't you glad we watched Why the Last Man last night instead of today? It's like, oh, yeah.
For what reason? I'm missing it.
Because it was already over and done with instead of watching it this morning. I don't like the show. Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna say it, and I mean I'm gonna keep watching it because we only have four more. But is it just me, or does it feel like they squandered this like comic book? Like, we've been waiting so long for it, and here it is, and it's like, oh, okay. I don't know.
It's taken them three whole episodes to just even get to, you know, something happening. And yeah, I get where you're coming from. It's a huge premise, and so far it's just been very narrow focus on it.
It's okay. This was my residual feelings come from the first episode, where it was like, it just felt like an episode of The Love Boat, where it's like, we're going to introduce you to everybody all up front, and we're going to tell you their things in very broad ways. And I don't think I've ever recovered from that. Like, there's definitely interesting shit that's going on. That's great.
Right.
And obviously the story is there and people love the story, and I can see the elements of it, but I just don't like, I don't like the reveals. I don't like the way that things are structured. And then I also feel like Diane Lane is like all on her own in the elite acting category. Like, I feel like she's like doing a lot of the heavy lifting. And there's good people in there, it's fine or anything, but like, she doesn't have a match. She has people who are casted and available. And
you know what is funny is, I think it's I had an issue with Sweet Tooth and the limited amount and number of episodes that were going to be, and just be like hoping, like, oh, I hope they have more, because I want this story to be fleshed out. We know we have seven episodes, and it feels like, I don't know what this is.
It's just so telling. Everything is telling you stuff. Tell, 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 tell.
So Stevie told me, because she's like, I don't know about this show. And I just said, I hate it.
and, so there you go.
Like, I was fine with it the first episode, and I was more fine with it last week. But now that we're halfway through, I'm like, what's the game? What is the, there's doesn't seem like there's a focus. I thought maybe there might be some flashbacks, so we kind of get some sort of context. I feel like the guy who's playing Y. Oh, Stevie told me that it's not like the book, and the fact that the book is more lighthearted and fun. And I feel like the guy playing Y is trying to have a fun time on the show, but everyone else is no fun.
He's out of context.
And then it just kind of comes off as him being kind of a dick or whatever, like right. not like getting the tone. Like, but you're right. I was kind of thinking about that. It's like, I know that this is serious and stuff like that, but like, there are things to explore that are funny. Oh, I've averaged 6 minutes of screen time per day last week. I did not open this computer a lot. Anyway. it's not clicking 100%. There's a lot of stuff that's good, and there isn't anything that's like, I've watched bad TV, like just like, oh, this is just the worst dialogue and the worst, like it's not even that, it's just I can't connect to it. I don't feel compelled right. to keep watching. I do, because here's where I feel compelled to keep watching, because when I watch it, then I get together and talk to two of my best friends about something, and it's a catalyst for friendship.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the thing, yeah. is I'm like, while I'm watching, I'm like, well, at least I can talk about it on the show. Like, it's yes. not just like, if I was going to, I probably wouldn't just watch the show, or I would have given up, but it's like, well, at least I get to do this.
Right.
My favorite thing about this episode is that we got an answer that I had posed a question for last week. And who's knocking over the plants?
It's Nora. It's Nora. I literally wrote in my notes that she knocked that vase over for Ralph.
It's been a joke. Like, our friend James sent us a text message of a picture that he saw just a chair laying on its side. And I sent him and you guys the scene in Wet Hot American Summer where Joe Latrulio and
Showalter?
No,
the woman, Garofalo.
Janine Garofalo are running around the camp just tossing shit out of stuff onto down. The floor.
Yes.
So it's been like this running joke in my circles for the last week. And then as soon as she just fucking knocked over that plant, I'm like, it's her.
It's just she's
knocking down
it.
The plant. And Stevie laughed, and it was great.
yeah, that was great. Just shortly after that, or at least in Nora Davis's storyline, when her dead bodies are still in the backyard and there's other crows all over them picking at them, my newest dog is the only dog I've had that like interacts with TV, that cares what the TV is doing. And so when the crows were on screen, his eyes perked up and he ran right toward the TV, stand up and look at the crows.
Loves dead bodies.
Well, who could blame him?
Oh my god. Oh my god. And so then,
yes,
there was a buzzard.
Uh-huh.
And we all know what that means from cartoons. That means they're really dead.
But then a Saint Bernard came with a cask under its neck.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was good because there was a little boy with his finger in the dam to prevent the town from
cartoon tropes.
Yes.
It's just weird. There was a scene where the two helicopter pilots are sitting there and she's like, why did he survive? Why him? And I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
Why?
Right. But also that scene, at least they as clunky as the dialogue might have been, they articulated why we're supposed to believe York is unsafe. And it's because people are going to look at him and say, oh, well, this was like a conspiracy. His mom saved him when she was killing everyone else. Which, as 355 said, that doesn't make any sense. But people believe shit that doesn't make any sense, and it drives them to do crazy shit.
Yeah,
I think that's another reason why I'm having a hard time with the show, because it reminds me too much of the crazy shit and dumb people currently.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it's... like, there's a part where Agent Sarah says something about New York and them giving out food. And okay. he said he went there once and it didn't go well. Because he's a man?
Right. Yeah.
So why? Do they know there's a man that exists? And why did that not go well? I still am not clear on why it's bad for there to be a man alive. I do understand, like, why it's not great for the current presidents, you know?
Yes. Yeah, it's bad optics for her. Yes. But if he were to run into a group of women on the street, the problem there is they're not going to see him and say, hey, your mom's acting president now. So yeah. I believe in a conspiracy. They're just going to see a dude. So we're still left with the question,
yeah.
why is that problematic? Right. How does that hurt them?
Does anybody want to be the only thing of anything in any situation? Yeah,
but
then like
why
that?
Are the but what about the what about the trans men that are hiding? Why?
And like I think that would be kind of your cover or whatever would give yeah. you some plausibility in the public.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But the way they're again going back to cartoon tropes, like I feel like if he goes out in public, like you're going to have 700 women go, oh man,
yeah, it's going to be like a hard, it's going to be like a Hard Day's Night. He's right. just can't find any peace. So one thing that is like already a constant theme is that Ampersand gets out, and then York has to follow him and gets in trouble. Like that's just going to be a go-to thing. Because it happened two episodes in a row. He got out last week and he followed him around and dove into the shit water. And he got out this week and they had to gaslight the first lady to say, oh, you probably didn't see any. You're probably just seeing things. You're so full of grief. You poor thing. Which is
why the gross. First lady?
What's that?
So why the first lady?
I mean, it's like, I guess I understand that they're taking, she's trying to, Jennifer Brown is trying to protect her son. And so she goes ahead and lies to this lady, but it's just, it's such a fucked up thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm too sensitive to it from the internet lately where people have been telling terrible stories about being gaslit, but it's just like, I guess maybe I'm triggered.
But that's what they're trying to shine a light on. And what's funny is they call the vice president, who's the one that's alive in Israel.
Ah, that's Regina Oliver. So she's basically like the couple of clowns we have in Congress right now.
Right.
That
a bunch of clowns.
But at one point they refer to her as an anti-vaxxer.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with like COVID and shit, right? There's anti-vax. There's always been anti-vax.
There's been anti-vaxxers for a while. Yeah, that laid the ground for the COVID problem.
Your Jenny McCarthy's and what have you?
Right, exactly. Okay.
Because does this world exist like post-COVID? And then I realized literally right now that there have been anti-vaxxers long before COVID.
Yeah. So her name's Regina Oliver, and she's in the hospital there in Israel. She, like, a building fell on her or whatever, and it took them a while to get her out.
I was wondering, I was like, was she in a coma?
Yeah. Yeah. They said that I don't know if she had something on her brain or whatever, but she, it took her a while to wake up.
She's trapped all sorts in the of rubble. Questions. And, yeah.
I had all sorts of questions before it was revealed she was in Israel because I was like, so they have a tent with power. But the hospital doesn't have power.
Right.
But that kind of makes sense because if, like, for example, if all of a sudden all of our infrastructure went away, you would probably bring in, like, a military mobile hospital unit, which would have
right.
facilities or power rather surgeons. Than, yeah, wise guy, a martini machine and hot lips with a hand. But no, but I mean, that seems very realistic to me that you would deploy your mobile forces rather than trying to prop up the building that doesn't right. have any sort of infrastructure or sewage or water or anything like that. That makes sense. That's the way sure. I just assumed it was.
Well, but also I think to Rob's point, once he found out that they were in different countries, it was less of a
yeah.
I gotcha.
See.
I got you.
So she's waking up from her coma, and she's like, oh, I need water. Oh, I can't remember my name. And then the woman tells her, you know, this is going to be hard to hear. All the men died, with everyone with the Y chromosome. And she instantly says, oh, cool, that makes me the president. Which means she's counted that out before. She's done that math previously. Yeah. she didn't sit there at that moment and go, wait a minute, okay, so the line of succession starts. No, she already knew. Like, if all everyone ahead of me is a dude.
Right.
So that sets up this constitutional crisis, which we have the two sides forming in the Pentagon, which is Kimberly and the Republicans, and President Diane Lane. Yeah.
Who's in the Decepticons.
And the Decepticons. She's president now. And the leftover Republican women are concerned because it's like the presidency switched parties without an election.
Yeah.
Which is quite a thing to be worried about when you don't know if you're going to be able to have food or electricity or water. We got to really make sure we know which party is in power.
Well, the thing is, like, we see, like, the group of women inside the room making the decision, and I feel like even Republican women felt like that they don't want that Regina lady to be leading them. They all came to the conclusion that they still want Diane Lane to be the president. But it's the citizens who are crazy with Amber Tamblyn, who has no, like, she's not in the government.
She's not in the government.
And either are all her buddies.
Right.
But they're like, we need a voice.
It sets up this concept of succession versus inheritance. And I know there's precedent. I know, like, well, I know that wives have taken over senators' seats when they've died before. But that's like that's by appointment from a governor, unless I'm mistaken.
Every state is different, right? But I mean, there's a process. It isn't like she's the sheriff, where the sheriff died and Suzanne Summers inherited being a sheriff.
Is that why she's the sheriff?
That's why she's the sheriff. Her husband died, so by marriage she gets to be the sheriff. And then every time anybody asks, like,
naturally,
that's such bullshit. It's like, well, she's the sheriff, and that's how they get the title of the show.
So if Mona died, would Tony inherit being the boss?
Yeah. Wait, was Mona the boss?
I had to start somewhere. That's what I picked.
So he started there. No, that's fine.
So, like, interesting concept. Sure. Maybe episode one? Mm-hmm. Episode two?
Right. I hear you.
And that's my issue, is we're halfway through.
Well, actually, I'm starting to think that there might be 10 episodes.
Oh no. Why the last that's man?
Good. That's not a good reaction to that news.
It's I want focus on the show so bad. I want it to be Why the Last Man, not, hey, look at this mirror we're holding up to our society.
Right.
Like, of the shitty parts.
We kind of got it in Sweet Tooth, but it was more in the background. We followed characters that were interesting and characters that we were like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do next or where they're going to go. This one, it's nuts. And we didn't even talk about it last week. And you mentioned this on a text, that Yorick is reunited with his mom. So, like, we're in episode three and his journey is just kind of,
just barely started.
I think that's the other thing too, with the love boat approach. You don't get to latch on to anybody. Like, you don't get to see a story through anybody's point of view. It's just
my other note is, where the last man? He's not like there's no focus. Like, even though we moved to like Dr. Singh or Wendy and Penelope and Amy.
Yes.
We still were like, this is Gus's story. And the narrator would say, this is Gus's story. I feel like we should be more focused on Why, if that's what you're going to call the name of the show, and then cut away. But it seems like the main focus seems to be centered around the government, which I'm trying to watch TV to get away from that kind of stuff. and I don't mind that it's in there, but it's like, why am I here to watch just a show about the government?
I think the other thing too, it's like, yeah, it's not about him, but it's also really not about him being the last man either. Like, it's kind of a complication, but it's one of many complications that's going on. And it just seems like a inconvenience or a consideration rather than the driver of the show. It really isn't playing out too much differently. Like, every once in a while that you'll kind of touch upon a social issue or something like that, but it doesn't seem too different than if half the population was wiped out regardless of gender. Like,
I feel, yeah, no one's really concerned with why this happened. It feels like to me, and this is just me thinking while watching the show, is they had a property in Why the Last Man, and then they also wanted to do a show about sort of doing a social commentary on what's happening now. And so they just went and like, well, we'll just use this Why the Last Man. We could fit in social commentary here, and sort of the actual property itself, Why the Last Man, the comic book, took a back seat just so they can talk about these other things. It feels like everything has been retrofitted to fit our times instead of telling the story that, that they're trying to tell in the comics.
And I think in some ways they kind of did it okay. Like, I do enjoy or have taken on the way that they talk about people on the spectrum of gender and things like that. And it's incorporated in the show, I think, in a way that's makes sense for the show, and it seems balanced with all the other content that's going on and everything like that. I think that's good in terms of adjusting the source material to, you know, the world that we're living in now. But yeah, I totally get that. But then there's other things where it's just like you kind of threw out the playbook to reflect on today, that maybe this isn't the story that you should be telling. You should probably be telling a different story.
Yeah. I don't like, why am I spending time with the president's aide?
Right. What is, we've barely seen her. We know very little about her, and we're at this stage now where it's a lot of the intercutting. Like, you would get like late in a Star Wars movie where it's like, okay, we have to keep advancing the plot on each of our different zones of characters right now.
We're like, what's Jar Jar doing in the field battle, and what's Queen Amidala doing in the palace, and what's Anakin doing in space? And yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. But we just haven't had any time to be invested in these characters. So we're doing all that intercutting, and it's lack of focus, sort of. I understand that they want to advance everyone's storyline, but so far, we've yet to see why we care about this Nora Davis lady. I mean, I guess you're supposed to care about every character, but she can't get into the camp. Her refugee buddies are leaving her behind. And, you know, she's got a problem with her kid. It's just like another story, and it doesn't seem like it's a necessary story.
Right. And I don't really, like, she can't leave with the rest of the group because their cars are full. Okay. I don't. Why does that matter? Where is she trying to go? Is it just because they ran out of food?
Yeah.
Could you not send out one person with a van to go gather food and bring it back? And then you can probably find a car with gas.
Yeah. There should be several cars with gas all around. Because it's not like she's living in the woods.
So they show after everyone already leaves. Then they show her get into a car that has no gas. Like, why do I need to see this scene where they get into a car with no gas when they could have just explained at the beginning of the previous scene, these are the only two cars with gas. So now I'm spending my time watching this scene that is sort of irrelevant, you know,
Right. And having to see something that you could have just already known.
Yeah, and then instead of seeing what's going on with, like, Hero.
Right. Which we saw none of Hero this week.
Right.
And does anyone know why the episode's called Neil? Did I miss something?
Was one of the husbands...
like a dead guy? I don't know. I don't know. Not significant enough to for me to catch it.
Right. When I went to Hulu to make sure there was only 7 episodes, I did see a title of an upcoming episode.
Which one?
What is it?
Have you seen them?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Well, there's one that would stand out for me, and it's called, I believe it's called, Weird Al is Dead.
Yep.
So
I think it's clear what that's going to be. There's a moment where you know that there's a tragedy. A lot of people are dead, but then there's going to be time where you sort of personalize it a little bit. Right. Where you think, oh my God, even Weird Al is dead. Yeah. It's going to be that sort of revelation. Sort of like drives it home. That's the thing with grief is sometimes it's always just there and you just need like one quick reminder.
Right.
And it comes all crashing back. Why did Amber Tamblyn steal that box of crayons? Anyone?
We don't know yet. That's foreshadowing. I'm sure it'll be explained. I was the thing that I thought of was like she had mentioned earlier in that scene that she had to buy like generic shampoo from a lady.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm like, maybe she's using it for like
for barter
makeup. Oh. Or barter. Like maybe there's a. But the fact that she took it was, I think, intriguing.
Right.
I think that's
either shows either she's a klepto, or yeah, you're right, she's stealing it to barter, and then here's this woman who she's treating like a friend, but she's even going to stab her in the back by stealing some of her meager supplies.
Yeah, but my first thought was she was stealing it for in case she runs out of makeup.
She can use crayons or colored pencils or whatever they were. It's kind of weird to not see anything from Hero. Like, I guess that just shows us how important they want us to think Nora is. And the president's friend, her name is Christina, I think. I don't know specifically what her role was, but I think she was always her assistant. That's what it was. Wasn't it that when we started the show, Jennifer Brown had one assistant, the curly-haired woman? That's what I'm talking about. I think her name is Christina, who was like, had been there a while, was her senior assistant and knew when right. How she wanted her coffee and was trying to prep a new kid on like their first day. Mm-hmm. And so now she's still with her and she's one of the ones that she even told her about Yorick being alive. She even let her in on that secret. She's that close to Christine, it turns out, according to IMDb.
Yeah.
Which, you know, who knows why she made that choice. But I don't think it's going to come back to bite her because this woman doesn't seem like she's going to rat on her or anything.
Uh-oh. Maybe you'll be disappointed.
Whoops. Disloyalty.
Yeah.
check off secret reveal. If you reveal a secret to somebody.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of blowing people up like Chekhov likes to do. They certainly gave those two pilots what for.
Yeah.
That was cold, Obi-Wan.
Just like, hey, come with us. You can help us find a geneticist in Boston. We'll get some fucking Duncan. And then kablamo.
And the thing is, they totally seemed like on board. Like, yeah, it was a little dicey that,
right?
You know, one of them seemed more conspiracy bent than the other. But they were like, hey, man, we know the assignment. We're at the behest of our commander-in-chief. Understand this. Let's fucking go. Like, sorry.
We're here to help you. Hey, how come there's... we're in a separate helicopter. Oh, don't worry about it.
Reasons. I like Sirius XM, and the helicopter doesn't have it, and you wouldn't like it. So.
Those guys, they knocked the pilots out. They're done.
I like that the radio played. They got a good 30 seconds of radio. It was like the opposite of Gilligan's Island.
The when radios.
They get in the car radio on, turn something on, they turn on the radio, and it's still broadcasting, but it's not relevant, and then it shuts off. Like, they just happen to get in when the radio signal
was still,
went away.
Was still functioning until the... We still don't know what is causing all this infrastructure trouble. I'm trying to picture how the radio station was going, and then it stopped.
Says someone still has electricity,
power.
Meaning the radio station.
Right.
And then they lost the power at that moment.
Right.
I don't know.
But they did make contact with that engineer who's going to try to restart the power plant. And in a very budget-saving move, we heard from her on the radio. We didn't see the power plant.
But that was the other thing too. Like it was also very. It was like in the war room, and like everybody's listening to this conversation. Like, do you want to have that on speaker if you fail? Like, do you really want like 30 people around? Like, oh,
she tried.
You biffed that one.
I biffed it.
Like, I know for purposes of drama, like they did that, but it's like it seems really weird that all these people are listening into this phone call that really should be a one-on-one.
Kind of risky.
But the thing is, so here's the deal. Like, the power plant, I'm assuming, has some female workers.
Yes.
Yes.
That probably have the ability to train other females to get it up and running.
Yes.
Same with gas stations. Same with literally anything.
I think that you're right, and I think there was an element of that in this, because they had some sort of explanation for that about, okay, we've got them, the women that are still there at the plant are at this level, and so they can do this much, but we'd still need like a big engineer to come in and do that stuff up above their pay grade. But yeah, you're right. Like, train or just figure it out, but we're dealing with just this total crash of the infrastructure, which again, we don't understand why, but it's hard to learn how to work the gas station if the gas station doesn't have electricity.
Yeah, but you still have, has to know how to pop those things that the trucks fill the gas stations with gas. Like, you've been at the gas station when the truck is there and they pop those things and pour the gas in. There's got to be a way. I mean, you can go to, I would say, like some sort of a plumbing place or pool place or some place that has some sort of a pump, and you just drop a line down there and
or
pump
the trucks
out the gas.
Themselves are probably still around too, unless they got knocked over. Mm-hmm. All the fuel trucks got tipped on their sides.
But
all the guys.
I feel like the disorganization is, it's almost, I feel like, insulting to women that it's this bad.
That's kind of the I think that I've tried to kind of steer clear of that, because the thing is, I mean, using, you know, Infinity War as a benchmark, right? Like, wiping out half the population is going to have a significant impact in ways that you can't imagine. But on the other side, it's like, just like we were talking about the mobile hospital in Israel, it's like, we still have military resources. There are women in the military, like, why not deploy a mobile like power station, or why not like it's, and it does come off, even though as like, especially in the last episode, like, we don't know how to do any of this, which I know is probably not their intention, but like it gives that impression by not addressing reality or the challenges that one would imagine that you would do. Like, oh yeah, we'd do this. We would deploy military resources. We'd have this, we would consolidate people, we would, you know, put everybody who has infrastructure knowledge and keeping the infrastructure running in like a centralized place and trying to get people there. Like, there's things that you would do, but the fact that they're not addressing any of that, it just seems like, you know, everybody's kind of throwing up their hands and they don't know how to get out of it, that they don't have the skills for that, which is obviously would not be reality.
Like, Amber Tamblyn figured out how to zip up her own dress.
That's right.
So.
Come on, ladies. I think that's like what you said earlier. There's been nothing. There's been an impact. There's been a disaster. Everyone's dealing with a problem, but there's nothing that makes it all that's left are people without a Y chromosome. You know, there's no specificity of that. And unless we start to read into it and say, well, gee, they can't get the power back on because they're women. And that's not a good look. That's not what the show's trying to imply, I hope.
Yeah. But it feels like that's the case. I think the adding the hashtags of the 63 days is a huge misstep, because like just now the crows are coming to eat the bodies.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, like you didn't think to bury them sooner.
Right. And it wasn't like frozen on the ground when it happened.
Right.
Right. Like it looked like I didn't think there was snowing in the day of scenes and the week before. So yeah, you're right. These little things, it should be an unspecified amount of time later. That way we can sort of just reconcile all this stuff. I am interested in seeing this Dr. Mann that they're going to go check out. She's a main character from the comic.
Another
character. Yeah, okay. Here we go. She's a main character from the comic, so it'll be good to have her connect with the group and see how she's portrayed. And I liked 355's logic about why they should pick her. Like, mm-hmm. we're picking the best of the unpickable, so we don't draw attention.
Yeah, I like that. Cool. So is this Regina lady going to be able to get back to America to lead?
That's the question. Why is she a threat if she's in Tel Aviv and we don't know, we don't have any belief that international air travel is reestablished?
Right.
There'd
I think
be
just
no time.
The fact that she exists is a threat enough, right?
Yes.
The true president is trapped overseas.
And like, she's from our party.
She's sort of the linchpin for the Amber Tamblyn group. Right. So that's enough.
She gives Amber Tamblyn's group a toehold. You know what? I just thought about like all the container ships that would be at sea with not enough people to man them.
That's but to Ryan's point, but could they be women's? To Ryan's point, like it seems like they have a military thing set up. Like the tanks, they have like tanks driving around with gasoline, and I'm assuming ladies are driving the tanks. I'm sure, I know that there's like folks in the Air Force. I'm sure there's a way to get to those containers, those shipping containers. I'm assuming there's women on board.
Yeah, I know, but like
that can probably take, I don't know.
It depends on how many people it takes to actually run those things, which right. Who knows. But I know that what we're dealing with currently is a lot of ships are like adrift in the harbor waiting their turn to come in to drop cargo. And there's similar situations happening at rail stations. So international shipping is something that we're so reliant on right now. Right. I mean, I guess they wouldn't notice the pinch so much in this scenario that we're watching because they don't even have anything. Much less are they hoping to order something on Amazon and get it in 2 days.
Protein powder.
Right. They don't have anything. What was the flavor? They said they had Slim Fast, like rockin' cappuccino flavor or something.
They probably only have like vanilla left or something.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like vanilla, but it just doesn't sound great.
It's like the Gatorade problem from Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, they only have... Oh, you like the cucumber. But I was going to say they only have the cucumber one left. It's the only one I don't drink. So right now I'm drinking Glacial Cherry.
Ooh.
I've been getting powders. Less waste. And I could drink my Gatorade. And it's G2, so it doesn't have the calories.
Oh, nice.
It helps me on every level.
And it's the single-use plastic that you don't want to do.
Yeah. So that's happening.
That's the final part of our review of this episode of Why the Last Man. Gatorade
powder. I just don't know. Last week, my complaints were purely logistical stuff based on the 63 days that have passed and what is working and what isn't working. And I was like, well, that's it as far as my problems go. I don't think they're going to bring up any more sort of weird logistical things that I'm going to just be like, ugh. but they just kind of like story wise is now like, why, what is going on? Like you have this whole scene with Diane Lane and Amber Tamblyn in front of a wall, a memorial wall.
Yes.
Just to get to the point where she, Amber Tamblyn knows that why, or is pretty much alive. And it was trying to be like this big moment and it didn't feel like that. And then I believe they cut away to a different scene after that.
So it just never, it didn't take on the impact it could have.
No. And I just don't.
It's funny for me. That was like the most suspenseful, quote unquote, compelling scene that's happened so far. You're trying to keep a secret, but I know it. But you're right. I think the show just got started off on the wrong foot in the way that it presented its information and keeps on making the same mistake.
I'm hoping it'll straighten itself out now. You know, I think the story's got to get a little more straightforward now that, you know, Yorick and 355, they have a plan. They're going to go to Boston.
Right.
And look for Dr. Mann. And like Yorick's clearly going to look for Beth when he's there. Oh no! Didn't she go to like Cleveland?
I thought she went to Ohio.
Yeah, she's too far away.
So one of those two places.
Well,
Cleveland's in Ohio.
Yes,
I know from the song
from the Drew Carey show.
Yeah.
I think it's, isn't it mentioned in that Sublime song about the riots?
Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Cleveland. Ohio. I guess that is one of the cities.
Harmony gives me shit about that because that song.
Oh, I know why.
Oh, you know why? It's because one of the cities they list is Paramount. And I thought they said Bear Mountain.
That's not why. I'm assuming Ryan. Okay, go ahead.
So I thought it said Bear Mountain too.
Oh, because, cool.
And in fact, I want to say that even when we found out there was more than just you and I in the room, and we were not the only ones who were surprised by that. And yeah, Harmony totally gave me shit as well for thinking that it was Bear Mountain, not Paramount. But if you look online and look on like lyric databases and things like that, both Bear Mountain and Paramount are represented. So if we could have a pussy cow situation here where, yeah, there's obviously a clear thing that Bradley Nowell is saying there because, you know, he records something. But the perception of the world is that it could be one of those two choices. Paramount makes way more sense than a Southern California ski resort that would not have even been open in April for people to riot against. Like, I get that that's a thing. I fully accept that I am wrong and that it's Paramount. However, I'm comforted that I am not the only one as far as the internet goes.
Bear Mountain.
Cleveland.
This is funny.
Oh.
It's whatchamacallit. Oh yeah, it's my excuse is that I came from the universe where it was Bear Mountain. And this is just a Mandela situation.
Well, I think the other thing is nobody's really repping Paramount. Like Bear Mountain, you might watch a program and get a Bear Mountain drop like at each commercial break. Like you're more inundated with Bear Mountain as a place than Paramount. And if you hear Paramount, you're probably gonna think the studio rather than
exactly.
The
city. Yeah. That's so exactly right.
I think it's just the way that your brain filters information. No disrespect for Paramount.
It's the blue and gold dress. It's just however you perceive it.
I saw it both ways.
Oh yeah, you can make it like shift back and forth.
Well, no, I had my phone straight facing me, and it was I'm like, yeah, it's gold and white. But then when I turned my phone to the side,
right,
it shifted in my eyes to where I saw black and blue,
right.
And then from like now since then, it's been black and blue.
You couldn't get the white and gold back.
No,
that's trippy. I don't know. Stuff like that it's interesting, and we all get to share it, and then it goes away, and we move on to whatever's next.
I like the audio ones.
Yes, me too.
Laurel, like, is this saying cabbage or butt fucker? Like, it's always like, what?
Yeah, and you can make it do whichever you want.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that freak me out. It just shows how simple and stupid our brains are and how mm-hmm. easily they can be tricked. And
super tricked.
How reality is a myth, and I don't know.
There's a show that's streaming on Disney Plus called Brain Games.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a lot of fun. It does a lot of stuff like that. It's eventually hosted by Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah, it was like a, I think I was on Netflix and it was like a British guy, and then was like Yvette Nicole Brown or something, and now it's right. like
it,
Keegan-Michael.
It gets
like,
mixed up.
But yeah, yeah, I like that because it reminds me of shit from like Mr. Wizard. Like Mr. Wizard yes. would always have like yeah. a sort of optical illusion on your TV.
Right.
Yeah. Which I liked. Don yeah, Herbert's dead, right?
He is super dead. He's been dead for a while. I would like how he would just like kind of shit on the kids a little bit too, like where the kids yeah. like so confident. Oh yeah, it's doing this. Now wait a second. Hold on now.
Didn't SNL do a sketch like that once where he was like really shitty to the kids?
Maybe it was Beck Bennett. Maybe.
God, I miss him already.
Well, yeah, it's a shame. But we've added 15 more cast members.
Maybe you're thinking of.
They got rid of Lauren Holt, who I thought was great. Yeah. I thought she was great in the sketches that she was in last year, and they got rid of her. Like, they barely gave her anything to do, and she would have, like, 15 seconds of screen time, but, like, in that 15 seconds, she would make some funny choices and have good reactions and shit.
Yeah,
like
if she was, like, the waitress.
Yeah. I think if they gave her good cast member things to do, she would go out there and she would do them.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know, man. I mean,
well, I'm going to give it only like about 4 more episodes and then I'm going to call it up.
Well, but what if it's 10? We don't know.
You don't give it to
those last three.
On IMDb, the main characters are credited as being on 10 episodes.
Huh.
Like York, President Diane Lane.
If they shot 10 episodes and cut it down to 7?
Jeez.
That would make sense as why things seem so disjointed.
Oh, man. Well, it's got 10. They've got, like 6 episode titles on IMDb. And then they've got episode 1.7, 0.8, 0.9, 0.10. So they think. IMDb thinks there's going to be 10. We'll see what happens. Next week's episode is called Karen and Benji.
Two more characters. Great.
And
they're both hunted.
Yeah, exactly.
is there an actual Karen in the show?
By name, not yet.
Okay.
By nature, potentially.
Yeah.
Karen and
Benji.
So it looks like that one aired on the 20th, or it dropped on September 20th, right? And then the next one is September 27th. I can't figure out if we'll catch up. I guess this would be impossible.
I keep thinking.
No.
I think it is impossible.
Yeah.
I think
unless
we
start doubling up episodes, and then that way we can be done with them quicker. Then we're not going to do that. But maybe that is something. So we could actually be in sync and have some timely episodes and to kind of burn them off and move on to our next thing. I'm for that.
Well, let's see.
I don't know. Maybe this is more of an offline discussion than this part of our podcast.
I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see how it plays out. I don't know if anybody's even talking about this show.
It made, I think I told you guys in the first episode, I saw like very, very minor Twitter buzz the day it was released, and most of it was indifferent. Like, nobody said it was
well,
bad.
Well, we're now where people were day one.
Yeah.
Right.
This is what they got day one, was this. This was the latest episode.
These 3 episodes. Yeah. I have seen way more about the Squid Patrol, Squid Game. I've seen a lot more people talking about that than about this.
And what's the other one? Midnight Mass?
Uh-huh. That's getting a lot of talk. I watched the first couple episodes of Squid Game. I'm into it.
There's too many things.
There is. You're not going to watch it all. That's for sure.
I'm watching Tacoma FD.
Nice.
Oh, how's that?
It's so good. And Ted Lasso.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. You guys watch
Brian, that? I was watching an episode of the Detroiters on Friday night, and I almost pissed my pants laughing. It was...
Here's a little fun thing for you.
Yes?
To look forward to. In the second season, there is a family reunion, which is along the lines of that Sam's dad episode.
It's with Sam's family.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I am looking forward to that.
There's only 20 episodes of it. They're all pretty quality. I highly recommend it.
We get hit with a huge premise of this episode early on, Ryan, where it's like they're having a significant birthday party for Sam's dad, and 60, 65, something like that. And the pressure is on because he likes people to speak well and do good toasts. And Sam has a list that he's been working on all year of roasting his dad's mustache. And then his dad shows up to the event clean shaven. And there's the game. Now we already have the game. And it just goes on from there. It's just, I think they do an excellent job. I recommend it.
I want to say that episode's written by Amber Ruffin.
Oh, I've seen that name a lot.
Yeah, she has a show on Peacock. She's a writer for Seth Meyers. But she has the Amber Ruffin show on Peacock that I highly recommend. It's just like a late night comedy news program.
Okay.
And they were starting to air it on NBC proper for a while. I don't know if they're still doing that.
There was, I guess, the Lily Singh had some weeks off, and so they played her show on Fridays.
Oh, okay.
But check it out on Peacock. It's free.
Well, yeah, according to IMDb, she wrote Happy Birthday, Mr. Duvet, and the Duvet Family Reunion.
There you go. And she's in both of them, I believe.
Then respect.
She's the cop. She's the cop at the party. Sam's ex-girlfriend that everybody liked. Awesome. She comes back too. I love it.
Anyhow.
I love it
so much. I was telling Ryan before you got here that I had to go to Carl's Jr. for breakfast because they're doing that Adult Swim promo. Have you heard about that?
No.
Yeah, so it's you can Adult Swim your combo, and it's an extra buck, and you get a little blind bag Adult Swim toy.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
But for adults. It's a kid's meal for adults.
I got my breakfast this morning just barely before we started, so I haven't opened my toy yet. But the last one I got Debbie from C-Lab.
Well, why don't you open that fucker right now? Let's see.
Is it White Debbie?
It's White Debbie. Yes.
Okay.
exactly.
Is your blind bag within arm's length?
I could go down and get it.
Go down and get it. Yeah, me and Ryan will talk about Mikey Day.
He brought the burger and the drink up, but not the toy, which is fine. I mean, we have choices, but why would you bring? Just bring it with you.
It needs to eat. I don't know. I don't know about SNL. How about the new guy?
He was great.
He started He opened the show. Imagine being a brand new cast member and you're the first guy up, you're President Biden in the cold open. And then he was in his Larry the Cable Guy was really good.
I know the pressure of oh my gosh, you're in the cold open, you're the main character. But I feel like a lot of that stuff to some extent is process of elimination. You're the one who looks most like that person. You're there and we got to do it. But all the other things that he did in the episode was this is, not saying that Biden was bad or anything like that, but it was they're going to showcase this guy. This guy's good. Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy was more nuanced than an impression of Larry the Cable Guy needed to be.
All right. And Mikey Day messed up that sketch.
Of course he did.
All right. Ben is back.
What we talked about. All right, so here it is, blind bag.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Oh, very dark.
It's like an unboxing, right?
This is great for an audio podcast, too, but
I know.
So
we're excited.
So you're ripping up the bag is approximately 2.5 to 3 inches high, but 2 inches wide, and you got
a
Space Ghost.
It's pretty good.
Pretty cool.
Cut, 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 cut.
Find a little guy.
Oh, he's got a little cape. See, and that works if you're just
a solid toy.
If you're just a fan of Hanna-Barbera, it doesn't necessarily have to be Adult Swim.
It doesn't have to be the comedic Space Ghost. You're right.
Yeah, well, shit. Now I'm going to have to go to Carl's.
Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah.
Fuck. Do you know how long that promo goes for?
I don't.
How would you know? I don't know.
No, it's fine. I first noticed it last week. So it's been at least, this would probably be week two already.
It was the first time I saw, I was watching baseball last night, and it was the first time I'd seen it heavily promoted. It was like every commercial break, so I think I'm just getting going.
Okay, well, cool. I'm going to do that.
All right.
And I can't wait to see who I get. I'll give you guys an update next week, because I'm sure we'll have a little bit of time to talk about.
How about we all go before next week? How about we all go and we all get a toy?
Okay.
And then we all talk about our toys in a new segment we call Toy Talk.
I'm in.
All right. Sounds good. I think that's all I've got.
Yeah, I gotta go.
I'm out of stuff. Get out of here.
I got I have a biological need I have to take care of pretty quickly.
Yeah, me too. Well, I just had some glacial cherry that's ready to
Is this a sequel to the Baconator?
To sink into the ocean.
What? Well, God bless you.
M-I-C-K-E-Y. Why?
Why?
Because the last man.
Last man.
Where's that lady, Ryan? Get that lady in here.
Sorry, I'm off. I was already thinking about how I'm going to make this awesome breakfast.
Recording stopped.
You're already thinking about your
My eyes
happy meal.
The prize.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys.
House made. All right, see you later.
Bye.
Okay, see ya.
Okay.
Bad sign, go. Good sign, stay. Life okay.